Well, brethren, we are very delighted that Brother Jerry Andrus could serve us on this occasion, and he has selected for us as his topic, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus. So we will be hearing from our dear Brother Jerry for the next hour up until 12 o'clock. Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Fontaine. I've seen the name, now I've not put a face with the name. So, dear friends, it's good to be with you all and looking forward to it. Like the psalmist says, I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. And as some of the brethren have said earlier, the Lord bless you, Brother Jerry. Well, brethren, we know that if he does, we all get a blessing. If he doesn't, well, it'll be just another day. But we'll look to him as he's promised, that he will bless us in his word, which we will seek endeavor to handle at this time. The love of Jesus, what a better topic. And I like that thought in the hymn. What is it? None but his loved ones know. You know, there is something indescribably wonderful and touching in the care of Jehovah to satisfy the secret yearnings of individuals, and yet at the same time he is occupying himself with the eternal salvation of millions. And why not? God so loved the world, and that he gave his only begotten Son. He does watch the 6 o'clock news more than we do. And I'm sure that God suffers at the great tragedy, the parade of tragedy that he sees. And doesn't the Bible tell us and reveal a touching side to his personality? He cares. He feels earth's hurts. He is concerned. He feels earth's hurts so much that he will not rest as long as one unhappy person remains. Isaiah 63:9. In all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. Even so, Jesus still has very few friends in the world. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. His nominal friends have a peculiar way of worshiping him, Matthew 27:29. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. And they reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they bound him by the wrist to a post in the courtyard, and they took turns lashing his back with a whip. It was a special kind of whip, made of leather straps, weighted with bits of metal, we are told, so it could bite into the flesh with every blow. One barrack whip took off his scarlet cloak and put it upon his lacerated back. Another plaited a crown of sharp thorns, and he thrust it down upon the master's head. A third put a reed in his hand for a scepter. And one by one, they approached his blood-splattered throne, kneeling before him in mock homage. They spit in his face. This record was not recorded for his enemies. It is recorded for you and for me. His friends, every time we are administered a pain for Jesus, remember the whip. Bear in mind the plaited crown of thorns each time we taste that bitter herb. The shame that rested upon Jesus is but a pledge of the love of God for us. The journey from Jordan to Jerusalem for us. From Jerusalem to the garden, from the garden to the Praetorium to Calvary for us. Titus 2:14. Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, we didn't make a long search for it, this gift, because he brings it to us. We cannot buy it. It is presented to us as a free gift. You know, we can't even run after it in one sense, because it runs after us with its saving power. His love has encircled you and me. Listen to Psalms 139, 1 through 6, Smith and Goodspeed. Thou hast searched me and known me, O Lord. Thou knowest when I sit down and when I stand up. Thou discernest my thoughts from afar. Thou dost measure out my course and my camp, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but Lord, thou knowest it all. Thou dost enfold me behind and before, and dost put thy hands behind me and before. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, for us, peculiar comrades, without question, who put self aside without fainting by the way, making room for the workings of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts as he teaches us hour by hour how to endure. He longs to reveal his grace unto his friends. He invites us to cast all of our cares upon him. He wishes to have us by his side. Astounding. He wants us right beside him. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. One of the most precious gospel invitations that will ever be held out. This yoke binds us to serve in the great work of salvation, spoken of in Eden, proclaimed at Sinai, revealed in Jordan, and manifested at Pentecost. The time has come for a glorious victory. God is eager for it. And why shouldn't he be? Aren't we? Jesus has set up his tabernacle in our midst that we might dwell with us, to make us familiar with the plan of God and our part in it, that we may have the confidence in every doctrine of grace, and every promise of joy, and in every action of affliction. So our lives should consist of more than the measurable, the easily described, if you please. We need a Christian dimension, a spiritual transcendency. You know, it's been a long time, and we thought many years ago we'd all be on the other side of the veil. And sometimes time can bring a complacency that shrouds us in such a degree that it unzips us from our zeal. Some of us may be satisfied with the Lord speaking to us in parables, but we shouldn't be, because he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the world has its humbugs, and sometimes so do we. Part of the reason is because life gets to such a fast pace that we are hard put to savor the scenery we pass or cherish the people who make this special trip with us. As we look about us now, we see those faces that we knew so many years ago, close on 9 to 50 years, and wonder why we hadn't been closer touch with those faces, those hearts of Jesus. and share that spirit they have of his. Yes, the world has its humbug, and sometimes we. Part of that reason, then, is that we need to get together more like is suggested here this day, and to not only renew old friendships, but renew our spirits, the spirit of Christ that dwells within our hearts and minds. We need to learn as a fiddler on the roof to keep our balance while we play our tune of Moses and the Lamb as we walk the walk of Jesus Christ in the pathway of sacrifice in this complacent world. Now, Paul makes this appeal to our sense of honor as Christians in 2 Corinthians 8, 10, and 11. He says, "What I ask you to do is in your own interest." Just sounds like the Apostle Paul, doesn't it? What he wants us to do is in your own interest. You made a good beginning last year, both in the work you did and in the willingness to undertake it. Now I want you to go on and finish it. Be as eager to complete this scheme as you were to adopt it. Now the apostle knew that truth is heavy, and there be very few who would be willing to carry it as a witness in their own heart as well as to others. For the Christian, this enormous gulf that separates winning and losing is only as wide as an incalculable law of choice. With this great power of choice that we have been endowed with, we can choose how we live in Christ Jesus. Yes, even to be a Paul Christian. Oh, there is the other side, to be that Laodicean Christian. If we depend on the chance, remember we will get what chance brings us. If we depend on little effort, we will get what little effort can do. But if we depend on investing wisely our little all in faithful consecration, we will get what Jesus can do for us. And we must make this deposit in the bank of Jesus every day, laying up those treasures in heaven. If we make this commitment, the first thing each morning when we get up, we'll get a head start on the world, the flesh and the devil. If we remember this during the day, we will stay ahead of our enemies. And if we do it as the last thing of the day, we are ending our day as a day in the Lord. And what better commendation? And remember also, as Psalms 5, I believe, puts it, if we wake up in the morning without our thought upon Jesus and what we are going to do, we're unemployed. Are we not? We are to avoid comfort zones. They cater to the flesh. Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. And they seem to ever be pulling us down, don't they? And those knees, oh yes, feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be healed. Well, this tells us that the school of Christ is never out for the faithful Christian. We should savor what we have accomplished in Christ Jesus by the grace of God, but never quit moving upward. Choice enables us to unlock the wonders of God's Word every day, to reveal our own predilections, and to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Daniel had his transfiguration experience, he fell flat on his face. But dear Gabriel helped him up. Then he understood the vision. So this tells us that we will fall on our face. And probably the best we can do in any day is to try to minimize that falling. Because it's an ever reaching upward, which grows naturally downward. That's why we must give so much attention to it every day. Daniel 8:18, as he says, he was speaking with me. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. Well, I think we all can relate with Daniel, because we've been there and we've been touched, and we're thankful for the touch more than being there. But then we can find in that experience maybe strength to help us to get up with and before the touch is needed. In the Lord's providence, maybe that is why we're here today, to pick our faces up off the ground. You know, we are told that our head should be in glory and our feet, the only thing, should be in the wilderness. Well, there's a lesson there too, isn't there? To be touched by Jesus in a way that only He can touch, which always sets aright. Now, every summit experience seems to produce an image that becomes its metaphor, and sometimes it catches us flat on our face. That's because of Psalms 38:19. Mine enemies are lively and they are strong. So we need these experiences with our enemies that we might know them and that we might once again realize that God's loving providences are working mightily for us. It's usually through those difficult ways when we find the might of God. Oh, it's wonderful to stand on the mountain of joy, but it has its own strength. It's those deep valleys that we seem to live in, those sea of sickness, and those trials and tribulations of health seems to be a mighty force in the workings of God toward His people at this time. But we need to be like Peter. We need to walk upon the water. Yes, you can. You can walk upon these troubled seas of health, and the Lord's hand is always there. To be touched by Jesus as only He can touch. So we need experiences with our enemies that we might know them. That He will send our Gabriel to touch us, reminding us that we are to keep the promise, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, keeping the promises, why we are on the mountain of God. Each one of us must have a clear understanding of whom we represent hourly and what we owe to one another as a living logo upon our heart. The divine song of a faithful people today on their way home. Now Daniel tells us in his own words that while Gabriel was speaking to him, he went to sleep. Have you ever done this? Gone to sleep while the Lord is speaking? Asleep to His providence? Asleep to our duties in Christ Jesus? Remember, Daniel was the guardian of the work in progress at that time. We are the guardian of the work of God in progress now. And it is easy. It is so easy to go to sleep, even though we want the vision. You know, dear brethren, when Cornelius was on his knees that afternoon so many years ago, he was praying to God as he was accustomed to do, the Scripture tells us. And the Lord Jehovah sent an angel from heaven to him. Now we don't know how far heaven is away, but it must come must be a likely distance. So this angel was sent from such a distance, and the only message that he had was, send for Peter. He has the words of life. So here Jehovah God and our dear Savior had sent this Gabriel, and all he would tell Cornelius is, send for Peter. And you know why that is? The Lord has only commissioned certain ones to carry his message. And not even the angels of heaven can speak it like his Peters, which each one of you are. Well, all of us want that vision, and all of us want that touch. And yet we go to sleep to our high endeavors and set about making bricks with straw. In our world today, for the Christian, there are so many allurements, and most of them are right within ourselves. If we are not watchful, our life becomes coated by a ritualistic din, a process of rationalized endeavors. When is the last time you prayed all night? Well, one might say that isn't realistic. Well, it may not be realistic, but it may be necessary. And thinking about this, the Lord praying all night, he being perfect, having need to pray in such a manner, or, for aught we know, maybe he did it just for the delight of it, to talk to his Father. It is our Father. Do we like to talk to him? But as a parallel in our lives, we often look at it as a paradox, that which is opposed to common sense. But in reality, it might possibly be a paradigm, a pattern of all of its inflexual needs and what it conveys, speaking to your Father in heaven. Well, before someone gets the thought, brethren, we're not trying to suggest that you start praying all night. Unless we need it. And quite likely, before this life runs out or runs its course, we will have at least one such need. Brother Lee Parsons used to say, some of you will remember him, in Joshua 7, the Lord asked the same penetrating question to Joshua. So when we find ourselves in these conditions, remember the faithful of old also found themselves. But there's always a way out because Jesus has provided it. But we need to go to that throne of grace and ask for that outing. The Lord didn't want Joshua crying upon the pavement, neither does he want us there too, or also. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might, there is salvation. The noblest, as well as the weakest part of our body, should carry this profile. Christian weakness unzips us from zeal and determination in Christ Jesus. And we began to look for signs of his love in the wrong places. The result, we began to put a sign for rent over the temple where our birthright is stored. Not with a desire, but because of the lack of it. Those are the great dangers. Not the desire to want, but the lack of desire to do. Esau had such a propensity. Genesis 25:32, Esau said, What profit shall this birthright do to me? Well, here at appointed time, Esau manifests his lack of appreciation for the way and life of God's promises, for seeming other important earthly matters. Elsewhere, Esau is termed a profane person. The root word profane means an unfenced or common person. The Lord requests of us, Leviticus 10:10, that we might put a difference between the holy and the common. Or James says profane. It's really common. And maybe this is the thought of Jeremiah 10:20. My tabernacle is spoiled. And all my cords are broken. My children are going forth from me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. And I submit, dear brethren, that each one of you have your position within this curtain. And that which you are to defend, like Nehemiah of old, where he set the people about to repair the walls where they lived. Well, they'd sure have a deep interest in that too. Well, that should be our interest, to hold up that curtain and to stretch it for the encouragement not only of ourselves in need, but also so for our brethren. Now, there was no temple area in Esau's life, no sacred enclosure, too much of the common, and little of the holy. That's what we need today. Brethren that can step into the gap and shore up the cords and curtains of God's tabernacle. And we're not submitting that you aren't doing this. In fact, we're trying to just put it on the blackboard so we can identify what's really going on in our hearts and minds. And we're sure that your faithfulness must be there by the very fact that you've come so far and do so much for your brethren. I know sometimes we get to the point where we think age just takes all of our abilities to serve Christ and to do. We know of a sister who got a little machine called an email machine. And we are amazed, literally amazed, brethren, at what she is doing. That took her a long time to learn how to use it. You know how age does with this old learning machine up here. But we go places and we hear brethren. And they say, what encouragement that dear sister sends me every day. Now, she can't move very fast. She lives in a retirement home. And she wants to do what she couldn't find to do until one day a brother suggested this. And she's having a glorious time, a faithful, glorious time. There is surely a holy temple area in her life. So then that's what we need today. We need to encourage one another. Every one of us need to be involved in this plan, this program. And you know why? Because God has placed us within this program. And we're never to forget that the market of world temptations may ever be so tantalizing, and even the bidders and the buyers are not wanting in today's market. the exchanging of holiness for the common can be somewhat brisk at times. Else by the scripture, I would thou wert cold or hot. And I know you've thought about this. It is better be cold than to be lukewarm. That's what the Master himself told John to tell us in chapter 3 of Revelation. So we must realize that as the scripture states, there is danger in lukewarmness. We need to capture the gusto and the strength of Psalms 90 and 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number. We need to count the days that we number for Jesus. In some sense, His majesty is to be realized in us each day, that we may bring in a heart of wisdom, as the psalm says, else our lives become idle chatterings within this program of God. Now, brethren, we are not trying to scold you or chide anyone. That alone is Jehovah God's providence. Our desire is to lift your God-given spirit into the heavenlies, to strengthen you for the daily journey through the Via Della Rosa to the cross of Calvary. If needs be, all the way to Calvary must our life take us in Christ. Remember John 10:4, when Jesus puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now these sheep, we, belong to Jesus. We are bought with a dear price. And it is stated here that Jesus putteth forth his own sheep each day. We need to recognize each morning when we awake that the Lord will put us forth in his work, if we but will. And that's not the end of it. He goeth before them. Our job is to find those footprints and to stay within them as close as we can. Every day we should see some definite marks of Jesus' footsteps in our day, and then to rejoice in them, to mark them well, for the providence of the day will become our strength for tomorrow. The filling of our haversacks with today's experiences, with the barley loaves and the fishes, if you please. Food from the bosom of heaven will become our manna for tomorrow. Mark 6:38. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say 5 and 2 fishes. We suggest that's just the minimum. And I'm sure Brother Larry could give us a discourse on what those 5 loaves and 2 fishes means to us, because they are indeed from heaven. Now the miracle in this is the way in which the Savior satisfied our spiritual necessities for each day from his own growing loaves and reappearing fishes. Each day we are to seek God's providences. And if we don't seek them, how can we know that they are there? And it is our part to handle the fragments, and we should see this bread multiplying in our hands, our minds too, if you please, each day, with no necessity of leaving the work of Jesus for anything. None of the Lord's experiences for his people are to be wasted. I thought about that a long time when we were looking up thoughts from the pastor on the subject. wonder. I talk to the Heavenly Father, how much time, how many things I waste. Thought I would not, if I knew. And then, why don't I know? Well, in my case, maybe because I wasn't studying enough. Maybe it was because I wasn't praying enough. Maybe it was because I wasn't visiting with my brethren more. Talking to Brother Carlton Chandler, was talking about those old times we used to have in his front room. Golden times, talking about the truth. Learning times, we were both young then. Remember that, Brother Carlton? I'm sure each of you could testify to wonderful things that would inspire us. Now the basket is our mind, which we store spiritual morsels. And the fragments we are to pick up are those that are broken by our Lord, and sometimes it's part of our body, as he prays to the Father for our diligent use of those fragments. And in this world, we who are desirous of experiencing the glorious miracle must be willing to be content with the barley loaves and the fishes. And never forget, the Lord still works his miracles. So consequently, we can do all things in him. Philippians 4:13. And notice, it has to be in Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And it must be of great width. All things. Pretty comprehensive, is it not? Joshua 1:3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Now, some of our feet may not be able to walk too far from the front door of a house, but the ground is sufficient to do the work of Christ that day. If that's the distance that we can go, there will be work that the Lord, if we watch for it and pray for it, and we will recognize his providence in it and his strength and grace. Some of our feet can travel across the country and around the country. Well, that's fine. That's wonderful. We need it, brethren. We need those that pull up that curtain and strengthen it. And the Lord lets it go down and sag sometimes just for that very purpose, when he sends one to shore it up again. That is our life. Kind of losing a little zip and then getting re-zipped into this program of God. So we must recognize that our Father draws the outline of the land of promise. Each day, the promise that he has given us, that he will give us a part in this work. And it is all ours on one condition, that we measure it off with our own feet. It has to be our feet. We cannot have the ground that our brethren's feet walk on. That is theirs. And in many ways, we should be thankful for that. Think of the great responsibility those that have the vitality and strength and the words and the talents. Yes, they have a great responsibility before their master, just as we who have very little have that same 100% responsibility in that which we possess. And I believe somebody, maybe the pastor, has said, remember the one talented person? Why did the Lord use him as the one to bury his gift when there's so many of us? Well, he wanted to tell us that it was possible for us, the non-so talented in brethren, to be wasteful and not be able to use that which, or not willing, I should say, to use that which is in our power. We are to measure it off with our feet. Now, we can all have this confidence that as long as we render unto God that which belongs to Him, we shall have what properly falls to us. And wonderful things will happen. Throw open the Bible to most any page, and you will find there something that deals with our salvation. Open the volumes every day and read of the Father's great work He has given us to do. We are to rejoice in this work because, as Paul tells us elsewhere, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. The essence of this knowledge lies first in the person of Jesus and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. On these two things transcends all other advantages. The power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. And only the more than overcomer can possess this. Now, the earnest Christians are those who rejoice in the work daily and are those who know their head and heart goal and the way thither. Measure love for Him often by the things done. John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in me ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And remember his love for you often. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We are not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. In walking in the light of the cross, we unite our weakness to His strength, our emptiness to His fullness, and this is no casual touch. It should be a vital connection, and the wonders of wonders. 2 Chronicles 3:18. We all, with open face, beholding, are changed in the same image from glory to glory. I must confess that when I look in the mirror, I wonder about that. But I'm glad it's not the physical that he's looking at. But that new creature, that new life in Jesus. Not only would Christ Jesus finish His work, but He is pleased to do so. He says, I am glorified in them. Do you realize, Brother Waller, that you can glorify your Lord? There's much scripture for it. In all, I am glorified in them. We stand amazed at such grace. Isaiah 43:1, I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. All the beauty and glory of the gospel is connected with this name. The secret inward sense of this should accompany us every day of our journey here on earth. Through its noise, through its evils, and its tinsel of gold, the sound of Jesus is to be heard in His people, and in Christian living, and in Christian dying. We are all to have a part in keeping the golden bell ringing, to be personally fruitful, to live free from the taint of the world, to look for opportunities in sacrificial dying, a sound which will bear witness to a living Christ. We have a knowledge derived from a personal experience with Christ Jesus. We have a wisdom which can be a source of strength to follow and to know the Lord. Seeking to labor together, to preserve ourselves, and to rejoice together in Christian grace to the glory of our Savior. But it has to be within our own hands. Each of us may weigh before God our grateful unction with our little all. Set it apart for holy use, the blood-touched ear, hand, and foot, and then to live on the sacrifice of that consecration. through the Via Della Rosa and up the difficult path to Calvary. While he is still pleased to embrace us in a special way, let us renew our hopes in him. Let us keep the faith in sincerity and truth, casting out every alien affection and casting aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And in reaffirmation, whisper now to ourselves, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord and Master, thou lovest me. Thou gavest thyself for me. By the mere utterance of these words. Maybe you can think of a better word than mere. There must be. It's more than mere. But by just speaking these words of reaffirmation, they do wonders to our minds and hearts. And then to step upon them and go out in action and do them, then the wonders of wonders begin to happen in their fullness. When duty appears stern and severe and burdens seem so heavy to bear, remember he is our yoke fellow. When our hearts shrink from those trying ordeals of the way, remember our Savior liveth to make intercession for us. As we behold the Savior's matchless love, may it elevate and purify. We more fully comprehend the magnitude and meaning of the privileges that belong to us as participates with him who loves us so, if we are always involved. It takes that involvement. To keep a vivid hope in the window of our minds, you and I, children of God, where the Shekinah dwells, and as these thoughts awaken living, sacred emotions in our hearts, let these holy convictions reaffirm and refix them more completely in our hearts, that we may realize once again it is time, as always, to be a living Christ. And let our Christian lives take on a more positive position as revealed in the heart of David in Psalms 40 and 10. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Now, we are sure that the beauty of your reaffirmation for Christ Jesus will become more radiant as the days go by, as you draw from its life-giving principles. And we are sure that it will cause many of us to look closer at our own daily experiences with the hope that it will help us to unite our humble thanks and gratitude to our condescending instructor, that we together may experience the wonders of the Holy Spirit working in his people, works that supersede the laws of nature. And may this song of renewed dedication filling our hearts inspire us all to search out each day the divine miracles that our Father is so willing to fill our tomorrows with, thus calling for a greater depth of gratitude from our hearts, that it might find a fuller expression flowing from our lips, invoking the admiration of angels and the adoration of the brethren to the glory of our Savior, our Master. The love of Jesus, what it is. only you can tell the message. May the Lord add his blessing.
The love of Jesus. Thank you very much, Brother Andrews, for those exhortations, those encouragements, those words exhorting us to devotion, to following in the Master's cause, even as the Apostle did, and for us to appreciate the wonderful privileges that we have as children of our Heavenly Father. We'll ask Brother Andrews to close and to offer a blessing in our noonday fellowship. We'd like you to sit for a moment or two so that we can give you some instructions regarding the meal.
Our beloved, gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, as we come before thee now at this throne provided, we thank thee for such words that we've just sung, dear Father. And precious Jesus indeed is he to our hearts and minds. And we would ask thee in this day that hours left before us, that thou would, if it be thy will, manifest to us thy great love in some token form, that it might inspire us to reach down deeper, to offer more of ourselves in him. To this end, we assemble this day before thee. And now, dear Father, we thank thee for the provisions of life through the temporal sustenance laid before on this board, table. We pray our blessing upon it, and we thank thee for the hands that thou hast provided and have placed it there. And we just come to thee, dear Father, just looking forward to a greater blessing in this day for helping us to be reaffirmed in our faith. So to this end, we acknowledge all, remembering our brethren throughout the world, their needs, as thou would be pleased to grant, we would pray them. The kingdom promise, may it soon come. But now just fill us in this day for that we know which lies ahead because of Jesus. Amen.